authors, writers, dreamers, all. Each day is an invitation to accept the call. I'm Brooke Warner from She Writes.
And I'm Grant Faulkner from NaNoWriMo. You're listening to Right Minded, weekly inspiration for writers.
Hello to all. Yes, the introverts and the extroverts, the social and the antisocial, the long-winded and the restrained, those of you who live out loud and those of you who would rather not. Today's episode is all about social media, and I'm here with my co-host, Grant, who I know shares with me some pretty mixed feelings about social media. Yes, Grant?
Yeah, Brooke, I think the entire world has mixed feelings about social media at this point. I've been at dinner parties where the entire evening's conversation was about social media, who posted what, when, and how they felt about it, how many likes they got, etc. I mean, social media is our new living room, it's our new town square, and yet when I'm offline and I talk to a lot of people who feel this way as well, I realize how there's a big, important, real world that's actually maybe more important than our online lives.
Right. And I'm thinking about the recent drive we took up to a local writers conference, and you were joking that if you and me were better at social media, we'd be doing selfies and posing and putting stuff on social media. And we were both saying that we envied people who did that really well because we so don't. And I don't even think we acknowledge that we were there. And I'm struck by people who are good at social media. And today's guest, Amy Ferris, is that person. We're going to talk to her later about this, and she's going to talk about how social media is a writing practice and how it nurtures her even. But my sense is that that's a disposition. I also wonder in part if it's because of the following that she has and the feedback that she gets that she's grown to that place also. It's a point of curiosity. And that there's a way in which these social media superstars, which I kind of think Amy is just because of the number of interactions she has, truly enjoy connecting online, and or maybe it's an addiction or both. So Grant, what is your relationship with social media like?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, as you say. I was recently asked in an interview if social media was a friend or a foe, and I did answer both. I mean, it's a giver and a taker. It's a lover and a hater for me. I'm thankful for all of the connections and the reconnections I've made and the ways they have nourished me as a person and certainly helped me as a writer. Yet, you know, as I mentioned, I often don't feel good afterwards. After I've been on social media, I sometimes feel drained, like it's not creatively nourishing. And social media is also a huge distraction machine. I know a lot of writers struggle with this because we're always trying to find like a focused time to write. And yet it's so tempting to get on social media and it can take you away from the depth of your thought and your time to write. And then, you know, writers these days, if they're published writers, they're expected to be their own publicists on social media because that's such a big part of publishing and selling books. So I don't know, Brooke, maybe we should have taken some selfies at that conference. But per your take, I don't quite have the disposition to post certain things or to always be thinking, oh, I should be posting this, I should be posting that. It really kind of takes me away from the thought that I find more nourishing. But how about you? Is social media a friend or a foe?
Yeah, I totally agree with you that it's both, because I do appreciate fundamentally the part of it that's about connection. But for me, I dislike enormously that I personally attach a should to it. I do feel like I should be on social media. And I, you know, all these years later, I still feel that way. I primarily post on Facebook and Twitter, and I can't imagine being absent from those platforms. But I'm also frustrated and saddened sometimes by how inadequate it can make me feel. And so there's the personal part, you know, where your friends are posting all these amazing posts about what they're doing, and it kind of compels you to do the same. And then on the professional side, there's a sense of just trying to keep up. And I've often joked that social media gives me ADD. I really feel that way. Like when I open my Twitter feed, I sometimes just feel like I'm turning on a fire hose, and I don't like that, you know. And yet despite all of that, because I work with writers and authors, I'm also emphatic about how important social media is to building an author platform. So there you go. It's just not an easy topic.
I agree. I think social media has definitely created ADD in me. Yet I do sometimes need to kind of pinch myself and think about the good side of social media. I think it's amazing personally to get such direct access to so many of my favorite authors. I always advise writers to nurture a relationship with a mentor if possible. And you can actually do that without knowing someone these days. You can just follow your favorite authors on social media and observe their writing lives in action or contact them. I mean, sometimes I think like scrolling through Twitter is a type of writing tutorial for me. Also, I like how you say you don't like the feeling that you should be posting. And I feel that sometimes too, and that creates some tension. I've started to try to think of social media as a way to be generous to other people, in the sense that if a friend has a writing success, I try to remember that and to post it and not make it all about me. So that's kind of made it a more palatable platform for me.
Totally. And I am so in agreement with you. My co-founder at She Writes Press, Kami Wyckoff, was saying when we were first founding She Writes that generosity is the new currency. And I have always kept that in mind. And I think it's so true. And the more generous you can be online, the more you're going to cultivate this incredible kind of following that you want, or maybe you want, I think most authors want. And Amy Ferris, our guest today, is so good at that. I mean, she really cultivates and honors and engages with her audience in such a meaningful way. And I truly believe that she just does that naturally and from her heart. And so there are just all these different ways that people show up on social media. I think it's important not to beat yourself up if you don't show up a certain way. And sometimes people ask me if they could just opt out altogether. And by people, I mean writers. What do you think, Grant? What are the consequences of that?
I think that's a super tough, it's a good question, but it's a super tough one. And I don't really know the answer to it. I think being on social media is a little bit like having a telephone in 1976. It is a primary way to communicate with the world. So it's tough for me personally to think about dropping out. That said, I know several writers who were once prolific on social media who have now deleted their accounts because they wanted to spend more time writing. And they believe that writing a good book is much more important than tweeting about their writing. And that can work for some authors. I think it's worked for them, but we're also all different and have different needs and proclivities, per your comment about our dispositional kind of tendency or quality that helps us with social media or hinders us. So I think we all have to find that balance of what works for us as individuals and writers and accept that, you know, like the telephone, social media is here to stay. So, Brooke, I am always interested in your green light moments. So I was wondering if you could share one with us today.
Today's green light moment is from someone whose name I'm not going to share. I think she would be a little embarrassed, but I actually think this is pretty emblematic of a lot of writers that I work with. She's someone I admire a lot who had a very tortured relationship with social media. She truly believed that everything she posted was bragging. And so she struggled with imposter syndrome and feeling that sharing any ideas or wisdom was somehow insincere. And so she wanted to build an author platform, but she had all these reservations. And we had a lot of conversations because I was coaching with her at the time about how to do social media authentically. And she began to see eventually, as she worked on this, that her social media posts could be an act of generosity, which you just spoke to. And that helped her to feel that her posts that were celebrating her successes were therefore more balanced. So one of the things that concretized her finally having more of a sense of calm about social media was her belief that she had something important to share and her owning her expertise, which I think is another really important part of this. When you are saying, you know, this is what I do, this is who I am, and it's authentic and I believe it, then you don't feel like you're quote unquote selling. But it took some time for her to get to that place. And social media can bring out our biggest insecurities. And you can't build a massive following overnight. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But this woman is now a published author, and the subject matter that she was so angsty over, now she is an expert in and feels that way. And so she fought her way forward. And now she's doing her social media much more effortlessly, which is really rewarding to see. So she greenlighted herself, even though it was hard, and she's showing up for her readers. And Grant, your pep talk, what you got for us today?
Yeah, I'm going to give a bit of a counterintuitive take on this topic of distractions. I think, as we've mentioned, you know, it's safe to say that there's never been an age in history so full of distractions. We essentially live in this cognitive state of continual partial attention. You know, we're jumping from one social media platform to the next, or texting people, or checking things online. And if you're a writer like me, you love going on a hunt for distractions. You know, like sometimes when I'm writing and all I have to do is hit the slightest pain point in a story, and it's almost instinctual at this point, an impulse I reach out and I start to breeze over to Facebook for a quick peek, or do a Google search as if somehow Google will magically deliver a plot line or a chapter for me. It's never happened, but I keep trusting that there's something in Google that will help me finish a novel. So here's my counterintuitive take. Distractions can be good. I've read some psychologists who say that creative people have what they call leaky attention, or often do. They often have leaky attention, meaning that when we are concentrating on one thing, other supposedly irrelevant information can seep into our consciousness. And then what happens is that then we're integrating and combining these kind of different ideas into one new idea. And for instance, that's one reason I like to work in cafes. Pre-social media, just looking up from my laptop or my page, I would see other people or eavesdrop on their conversations. That was my form of peeking into Facebook. So I challenge people to really be attuned and to figure out which distractions inspire you and which dampen your creativity. You know, is your creativity sparked or smothered when you work in a cafe? Do you work better with music or the radio on in the background, or complete silence? You know, what does checking Facebook do to your writing? Does it help it or hinder it? So I think we need to form a strategy in this age of distractions.
Hear, hear. Thanks for that, Grant. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Amy Ferris right afterward. We are back, and I am so excited to have with us today Amy Ferris, who is an author, editor, screenwriter, and playwright. Her memoir, Marrying George Clooney, Confessions from a Midlife Crisis, was adapted into an off-Broadway play. She has written both for film and TV, and she's contributed to numerous anthologies and magazines. She's the editor of two anthologies, Dancing at the Shame Prom and Shades of Blue. Amy serves on the advisory board of the Women's Media Center, the board of directors at Peters Valley School of Craft, and she co-founded the Milford Readers and Writers Festival, where she and I will be together this year, and we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of her interview. Amy was recently named and awarded one of Women's E! News 2018 21 Leaders for the 21st Century. And so Amy has so many things going on, including this amazing social media platform that we're going to be speaking with her about today. So Amy, thank you so much for being with me and Grant today.
Thank you for having me.
Amy, we brought you on today. I mean, you have all this stuff going on, but you also have this incredible Facebook following. So can you talk to us about how that all started and what your relationship both with Facebook and your friends and fans online is like from your perspective?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I started to have a social media presence with Marrying George Clooney, and I never did before. You know, I didn't have a blog, and I didn't, you know, I was not a social media maven. And what started for me about Facebook was basically to promote Marrying George Clooney. And what I did one morning was I wrote a blog or a post, you know, this is what I know. And it seemed to have like a real following. And that was what, 9 years ago? And now I write a post every single morning. This is what I know, post-coffee, pre-wine. And on a good day, I have maybe 100 and 150 comments. On a really good day, I could have, you know, almost 1,500. And it's pretty extraordinary. And I don't really, all I do is write my truth. And I have an interesting relationship with friends and followers. A lot of, you know, given the political climate now, I find that there are a lot of people who are very offended by my language because I use a lot of profanity. So I get a lot of that and I try to respond, but you know, it's very interesting. The last year and a half with, you know, Trump being elected has been a very interesting experience in terms of social media for me.
Amy, you know, one of the things I struggle with on social media is that and Facebook in particular, is that I have some friends who are literally from my kindergarten, who I went to kindergarten with, and some of them I haven't really seen since then, perhaps. And then I have this whole other group of friends who are part of my writing and professional life, and then everything in between. So sometimes when I get on Facebook, I'm not even sure exactly who I'm communicating with or who I truly want to communicate with. It's this tension between personal and professional. So how do you think about your social media? Do you think about it as mainly part of your writer platform, or is it more personal?
That is an actually really wonderful question. I think of it very much a part of my personal life. And I don't really separate it's very hard for me to separate my writing life from my personal life, because I just see myself mostly as a writer. That's what I really see myself as. And because I write a post every single day, I think of that as writing. So I think I'm combining both the personal and the professional side of me every single morning. And when you talked about kindergarten, what was wonderful for me a couple of years ago was all of these girls that I grew up with in out on Long Island friended me. And I was like, wow, I have not seen these women in years and years. That's a really good, cool thing about Facebook. The other thing is when you find out that, you know, a guy that you slept with many years ago wants to friend you, that is not a good thing. But I really view Facebook as an opportunity to put out my writing, to use my writing, to inspire people. So I think of it very much as it really blends for me. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I think Grant and I can both relate to that. And I follow you on Facebook, and your posts are incredible. Sometimes I think of them as mini memoirs. You tell stories. You're really implementing so much memoir craft into them. Actually, they're vignettes. Sometimes they're short, sometimes they're long. You write a lot about social media and politics, but also lots of inspiring personal stories. And you also lavish a lot of love onto people, which is an extreme, because in some of your posts, you're incredibly angry. And what I love about it is the emotional extremes. And I wonder just what your own feelings are about it. And if you think that your following, which frankly is huge, and I think that's why we're talking to you today, because I'm interested to hear the advice that you have for other writers. And it sounds like you came to it somewhat accidentally, but now that you have this big following, are you conscious of cultivating it? And I appreciate that you said what you said about writing. I'm also wondering to what extent it is a writing practice for you.
It is a writing practice for me. And I do feel one of the things that I found about putting myself out there on Facebook is that I want all people, mostly, I mean, I started very much as a woman's woman, but I want all people to really use their voice. And I want people to be very authentic. And I have found that on Facebook, it's kind of interesting that people put themselves out there in a certain way. And then when you meet them, you think, wow, that is so not you. And I think I think we're living in a world where being authentic is really very important. And I think that Facebook is one opportunity to do that. And I try really hard to put my truth out there so that when people do meet me in person, they don't go, wow, you're so different. I never expected you to be like that. I mean, most every person that I ever meet really kind of gets that what I put out there on Facebook is very true. And I think for me, I have a very hard time focusing on writing every day. So posting something every day gives me the confidence to go off and actually write. It gives me the confidence to continue writing after I post something. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, hey, Amy, I just tried to friend you on Facebook, and unfortunately, you are at the max. You have 5,000 friends, so I have a special request. Can you unfriend somebody so that I can be included?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I feel really bad for the person who you unfriended, though, so don't do it for me. I can connect on Twitter, too. But hey, you know, I really appreciated you telling about, you know, the need for people to be authentic and to speak their truth, because this is one of the things that I think makes stories and novels good as well. And it's super difficult to be brave enough to tell your truth in any sort of writing in public format. But I'm curious, it sounds like social media is a creatively nourishing thing for you. My question was going to be about what the challenges you face are. But it seems like you've overcome so many of those challenges. I mean, you mentioned like the daily regimen of it. You mentioned people reacting to your language. You mentioned people reacting to your politics. It seems like those sorts of tensions are nourishing for you, or are they?
They are nourishing for me. I had a really hard time a couple of years ago because I was trying really hard to, you know, when you post something that's very personal, and then somebody comes and attacks you, you don't quite know how to defend yourself, or if you want to defend yourself, or if it's even worth defending yourself. But because of the climate we're living in, I think it's really very, very important to defend your stand, especially now, especially with Trump, especially in the world we're living in. And I want to just backtrack a little bit. It was Brooke who many, many, many years ago, when I was writing Marrying George Clooney, she said something to me that has stayed with me, and it was, when people read you, they know if you're full of shit and they know if you're authentic. They know if what you're writing is true. And that really stuck with me, because I think very often, especially on social media, Grant, we want to make ourselves a little bit bigger sometimes than we are. You know, it's, we want to have a different kind of presence. And the truth is that, you know, if we put out there exactly who we are and write our truth, people are incredibly inspired. They are so deeply inspired by people who write their truth and tell their truth and stand in their truth, because it gives them the confidence and permission to do the very same thing. So I made a decision, a very conscious decision, when Trump got elected, that I was going to write my truth no matter what. And it has inspired so many people to write their truth and to not be afraid to say how they feel politically, emotionally, psychologically. I write a lot about depression, and it's given people a lot of permission to write about that for themselves. And so I think that the really good thing about social media right at this very minute is it gives people an opportunity to stand a little taller in their own life.
That just makes me want to share with our listeners that you're working on this play and musical, Me Too, the musical. And I know that that stems from things that you've shared online too. I think the personal aspect of what you bring and your, honestly, your bravery in that subject matter is so inspiring to people. I love to hear that it is inspiring other people to share their truth as well. And I said we would end on this note of you being the co-founder of the Milford Readers and Writers Festival, which I want to bring up. I had the great privilege of speaking there last year, and I'm coming back this year. This is happening September 28th through 30th. We'll both be there. I can't wait, but it's another creative outlet that you have. And I would love it if you would just share about what it's like to run a Readers and Writers Festival, and maybe one of the most inspiring things about that work that you do.
You know, Readers and Writers came out of a wonderful dinner with Suzanne Braun Levine and Robert Levine and Sean Strube and I. And I think a little bit of it came from the fact that we live in this incredibly creative community. And we have film festivals, and we have other festivals. And the one thing that we all love to do is read, and it was actually Suzanne, to be very honest, who said, you know, there are no reading festivals. And so we all kind of jumped in and said, let's do this. And there is something very magical about being a part of a community that wants people's lives to be bigger. And the Readers and Writers Festival in Milford certainly does that. And I'm so thrilled that you're coming back. We have this mission that we want people to fall in love with reading and writing. And when you have the authors there that you, you know, kind of think, wow, they're just so cool and they're wonderful, and you find out that they struggle, and you find out that their process is a little hard, and you find out that, you know, it's not that easy, you know, putting pen to paper. It really encourages a person who's striving to be a writer or wants to be a writer to see one of their heroes, because authors are heroes, go through that process. So for me to be part of that community, you know, to be one of the founders, but also to be a part of 15 people who work so hard on making it happen, it's absolutely delightful to watch something come to fruition. And we really, really struggle. You know, we really put so much energy into it and thought into it, you know, and how would this work with this particular conversation, and who would be the perfect person to interview. And it's really mindful. I mean, it's really incredible. It's not just, we don't just slap something together. We work really hard and diligently to make it seem almost seamless, you know, in terms of who we invite and all of that. I love it. I love every bit of it.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Amy. I love talking with you. I love interviewing you. I love it when we're in the same circles. So just thrilled to have you with us today.
Well, I just love you, Brooke.
Thank you so much, Amy. I loved what you said about putting your authentic self out into the world. I don't think we can get that message enough in our life as writers.
Thank you so much, Grant. It's a pleasure to meet you virtually.
Okay, we're back with the closing of our podcast where we do a writing action. And today's writing action is to create a theme list. So we're thinking about social media today. And because of that, I know that I hear from so many writers, mostly novelists, honestly, that building a platform on social media is hard because they don't have enough content to build on, or because everything they want to say is already in their book, all kinds of reasons and excuses that I hear. Writers do struggle to know what to post about, and a lot of people are discouraged by social media before they even start. This approach to social media, to me, though, is kind of like setting out on a grand adventure and then not packing a bag, not buying your tickets, not getting your passport taken care of. And so there are all these steps that you do to prepare for something like that. And similarly, they're the same kinds of steps that you would take for social media. And that's what this action item is about. It's to get ready so that you know what your themes and ideas and issues and drives and passions might be. It's designed to help you figure out where to focus the attention of your social media. So this is how this works. You figure out what your themes are, figure out what you're writing about. This is going to be super easy for those of you who are writing self-help. It's easier probably for memoirists than it is necessarily for novelists, but nevertheless, you want to focus in on what are you writing about? What is your what? Do you even know? Because if you don't, it might be helping your next book to get that really clarified. What are the issues and the ideas and the themes at the heart of the project that you're working on? For instance, identity. I mean, that's a one that I see a lot, and that can be in novels or memoirs. It's too broad a theme. A more specific theme here for a memoir might be something like being an adoptee or being a person of mixed race. And then let's look at genre fiction. I have a writer who is writing about women warriors right now. It's a contemporary fantasy novel. But there's so much that she can do by way of crossover in this area to start to build some ideas and themes on social media. So see if you can identify at least three themes in your work. And then within those themes, brainstorm five blog posts that you might write. And these are whole blog posts, right? So for example, the adoptee might write on the topic of how to choose to look for your birth parents. Like, how do you know if that's something that you would want to do? They might interview other adoptees or parents who gave up their children for adoption. For the fantasy writer, she might highlight women warriors of the past, even though her novel is contemporary. There might be a post about how to be a warrior or what constitutes a warrior or the popularity of this term warrior in modern culture. So these are all ideas. The thing about a blog post is that it's going to be 500 to 800 words probably. And I'm a big fan of repurposing blogs for social media, you know, and then if you have these little kernels of ideas for blog posts, you can start to figure out, okay, now what do I have to say? That's a much shorter version of that. So this is an exercise that you can tackle at any time. I think it's really important to focus in on issues, themes, and big picture ideas, and then start to think about your own writing in that way if you want to build a social media following around the things that you're cultivating in your current writing. So that's it. Good luck with it, everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Right Minded is a weekly podcast. Please download it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. And if I can ask one little favor, can you please review Right Minded on your favorite podcast app? It'll help us build a listenership. We'll see you next time. Thanks again.
Bye, everybody.